Good afternoon. The February 3rd, 2015 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. Please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
We thank you, O Lord, for the good weather that we're having in Savannah and all in Georgia. We thank you for all the many blessings that you've bestowed on us. Look on our service men and women serving all over the world for our protection. Make us humble, simple, and honest with our decisions today. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated. There are agendas on the table outside near the door to the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First being notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next is the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. These items were reviewed during the
meeting. Wants to see what they come up.
Then we move on to old business, regular business, other business, and adjournment. There's a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign the sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of the blue speaker cards, such as the one I'm holding in my hand right now, and provide it to one of the staff members at the front table so that you can be called when it's time for you to speak. Next, I'd like to outline the procedure for the meeting so that everyone's aware of how our process works. For each petition, we start with the staff presentation. After the staff makes their presentation, the commissioners will ask any questions of clarification of the staff member. Upon completion of that phase, the applicant is offered the opportunity to make their presentation. Again, upon their completion, the commissioners ask any relevant questions of the petitioner. After the petitioner is complete, we offer the public the opportunity to come forward and speak, and the public is provided the same amount of time to speak as the applicant, so it's very important that I'm provided with any speaker card if you wish to speak on any item, because that division of time is made at the point where I allow each person to speak, and once that process begins, you will not be allowed to join the queue. So if you do wish to speak on an item, please be sure to fill out a card and make it available to us for that purpose. After the public is afforded the opportunity to speak, person is offered to speak, the commissioners can ask the speaker any clarification questions again if they have any. And after the public has been afforded the opportunity to speak, the applicant is availed the opportunity to come back and rebut any items that were raised during the previous communications. After that is complete, the commissioners can again ask further questions of staff, the petitioner, or any public person if they require, and will deliberate to take action on the item at that point. Moving on to the next item, we have the approval of the agenda, and as part of the approval of the agenda, I will read the items that are on the consent agenda. First item on the consent agenda will be the approval of the MPC meeting and briefing minutes. Next, we have an authorization to authorize the executive director to execute the fiscal year 2015 Savannah Regional Traffic Control Center study. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak on these items? All right, so there being none, we will look for a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So, got a question.
Yes, Ms. Mack.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I just want to be sure on the agenda I'm looking at. Is this the final agenda, correct?
On the screen, yes.
Okay, and so I'm looking at the agenda. I see no mention of anything about a report from a nominating committee or any votes. Am I correct?
There will be no presentation from the nominating committee and no voting on that.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, so we have a motion to approve the agenda by Ms. Milton and seconded by Mr. Wood. Mr. Wood?
Sure.
Yes.
Paper agenda may show that one item not moved to regular agenda.
Yeah,
okay.
You may vote. Motion passes. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. First being, we have the February 3rd, 2015 swearing in of MPC commissioners by Judge John E. Morris, Jr. And I guess we will have that right now.
If these proceedings were not being televised, Mr. Blackburn. Okay. Could everyone please stand? Now, Mr. Chairman, for simplicity, is that I'm trying to get everyone in unison, trying to repeat everything that I'm going to say or either do it individually so that they're not trying to sing like a choir. I will repeat the oath and the creed. And just get everyone to say at the end whether you resolve or I do, okay? Is that all right with everyone?
Good deal.
All right. Can everyone raise their right hand, please? As members of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission who are vitally interested in the building and maintaining a viable community in which we all live, work, play, do you hereby resolve to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Georgia? Will you uphold the laws of the United States of America and the laws of the state of Georgia? Do you resolve to concern yourself with the advancement of public interest in all matters that come before you? Will you resolve to place the competence and effectiveness of service to the public above all interests of persons, factions, and parties? Will you resolve to endeavor through diligent attendance to represent the best interests of the community as a whole, as you have been appointed to do? Will each of you resolve to assimilate all pertinent information on matters before the Planning Commission prior to committing yourself to an irrevocable judgment or decision? Will each of you resolve to prepare yourself for all items scheduled for presentation before the Commission? Will each of you resolve to strive to provide fiscal sound policies, matching expenditures to funds that are budgeted? And will each of you resolve not to make available to any citizen any service, tangible or intangible, and that are not equally available under the laws to any other citizen? And will each of you resolve to abstain from participation in a decision of the Planning Commission and or the governing body in which you have a conflict of interest? And will each of you resolve to avoid unilateral action that does not comply with the existing policies of the Planning Commission? And will each of you resolve to work with professional staff of the Planning Commission and other persons to achieve the most desirable results with regard to the planning or zoning process and establish community development policies? And will each of you resolve to refuse personal gifts, in every instance where you have reason to believe that the gift would not be or have not been extended and accepted in your official capacity, where you have reason to believe that the giver's interest is likely to be affected by your official action, or where the gift is or may reasonably be considered to be designed to influence your official actions. And lastly, will each of you resolve to conduct yourself to the contacts with other persons and groups in a manner keeping with the trust and dignity in your position as a servant of the people and of this community? You further take care to guard and not only the factual principles before you, but also the appearance of justice and integrity. If each of you so resolved, will you say, I do?
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. The next item we have is a notice of our February 24th, 2015 regular MPC meeting to be held here at 1:30 p.m. here in the Arthur A. Mendoza Hearing Room. I will next read the development plan submitted for review. First, we have Skinner Dental at 10515 White Bluff Road. We have a site development plan under review. We have Dollar General at 3111 Skidaway Road, site development plan under review. VA Health Facility Outpatient Clinic, northeast corner of Rio Road and Shawnee, site development plan under review. New cell tower with Verizon at 1511 Staley Avenue, wireless facility pending MPC approval. Pets at Peace Crematorium at 7200 Hodgson Memorial Drive, site development plan under review. Keen Industries new building at 101 Norwest Court, site development plan under review. Gulfstream building Y Phase 2, 100 Airways Avenue, site development plan under review. Garvey Park Phase 1C, 280 Highlands Boulevard, subdivision plan under review. Moving on to items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. The first being the Tricentennial Comprehensive Plan Amendment, Map Amendment for Brian Woods Road Future Land Use Map Amendment, Residential Suburban Single Family to Residential General. We have an amended master plan for Highlands Park at Godley Station, and the Zoning Petition Map Amendment, the General Facility of U.S. Highway 80 East and Brian Woods Road, rezoned from R1 One Family Residential to R38 Multifamily Residential. These three items have asked to be removed from this agenda and moved to the next meeting for February 24, 2015. And we have another item, Zoning Petition Text Amendment to amend Section 830.12(d)(3) signs permitted required announcement signs to allow electronically controlled announcement signs to change message every 10 seconds. That has been asked to be removed from this agenda and moved to the March 18th, 2015 agenda. So we need a motion.
So moved. Second.
All right, we have a motion to remove these items from the final agenda as noted by Mr. Cook and seconded by Mr. Manigo.
It didn't come up.
Yeah, the items requested to be removed, they are there.
No, I'm talking about the
Oh, yeah, they're there. Okay. All right, moving on to the next item, we have the consent agenda, and these have been previously read, so we are looking for a motion for the approval or of the consent agenda.
So moved. Second.
All right. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Cook and seconded by Ms. Milton. We have to do this by voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Motion passes. Moving on, we have no items of old business. Moving on to the regular business agenda. The first item we have is a text amendment to Section 8-30, Savannah Historic District Ordinance, Section 8-3120, River Street Baptist Walk Sign Ordinance, Section 8-3119, Broughton Street Sign Ordinance, and Section 8-3121, Historic District Sign Ordinance. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a staff-initiated text amendment that essentially is, for lack of a better word, cleaning up a few inconsistencies. Dealing mostly with process as it relates to the Historic District Ordinance and the three sign ordinances that are in effect in the Historic District. I will go through those individually. Where you see the highlighted text, that is the proposed amended text. The first proposed amendment deals with the number for a quorum. The Historic Review Board currently has 11 members appointed by City Council. The ordinance specifies that 7 members constitute a quorum. The Historic Review Board is requesting that number be reduced to 6, a simple majority, which would be consistent with Robert's Rules of Order, just to facilitate obtaining a quorum at meetings, which has been difficult, particularly when we've lost members through resignation or folks haven't been reappointed. So that's consistent with Robert's Rules of Order.
Stay in your quorum.
The second text amendment has to do with the criteria for when to apply the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation. Currently, the language states that it can be applied to a historic structure, outbuilding, or appurtenance related thereto, but it doesn't specifically say that that outbuilding or appurtenance actually needs to also meet the historic criteria. So that provides more specificity there, and it also adds the reference to where the historic criteria can be located within the ordinance. A number of the revisions within the ordinance deal with the encroachment process. The Historic Review Board reviews a number of items that often require encroachments from the city, such as awnings, balconies, stoops, stairs, etc. And the language currently is a little bit ambiguous. It seems to imply that the standards are only met when there is an encroachment, when it was really intended to apply anytime there are awnings or balconies. And additionally, it specifically references the mayor and aldermen, which requires a vote by them. So it's been requested by Real Property Services that be amended just to reference the encroachment license process, so that whatever that process is, it doesn't necessarily specifically have to be approved to the mayor and aldermen unless that's what the process is. So it allows the city additional flexibility there. The structured parking setback is a requirement that was put into place in 2009. It requires that structured parking be set back 30 feet from any street, not including lanes. This was intended to prevent dead space along the street level where we have parking, which is certainly a good thing. However, since it's been in place in 2009, we've seen a sharp increase in the number of variances that have been requested from it, as they specifically relate to single-family construction. And in situations where single-family construction is on a trust lot or there's no access to a lane. And so that really wasn't the intention of the standard. This clarifies that. It's still in effect, but it exempts those particular conditions. A recent amendment to the height map has put a particular provision in conflict with the height map. That when that provision is that it states that new construction north of River Street shall not be greater than two stories, but there is a place on the height map where it does allow for greater than two stories, so there's just some additional language in here to say unless otherwise shown on the height map as amended. And an additional clarification was that the reference to the public notice policy referred to an out-of-date section, so that's been updated to reflect the accurate section of the ordinance. Lastly, these amendments have to do with the three sign ordinances. We have the general landmark district sign ordinance, we have the River Street Factors Walk Overlay, and we have the Broughton Street sign ordinance. None of those ordinances currently reference the encroachment process, and so there's added additional language in there so that the petitioner is required to do it. This makes it clearer to everyone that they're required to obtain an encroachment license from the City of Savannah. So that provision there that you see is consistent through all three of the sign ordinances. And finally, there's a particular provision in the River Street Factors Walk Ordinance that deals with directory signage. In this particular case, it refers to signage that's located just to the north of Bay Street, where it's referring, it has provisions to allow additional signage for those buildings that are located on Factors Walk or River Street. The way it's currently written refers specifically to the city traffic engineer as the governing authority responsible for maintenance, et cetera. In conversations with the traffic engineering department as well as the citizen's office, with their suggestion and recommendation, staff had proposed changing that language to clarify and to refer to the city citizen office as the authority responsible for maintenance, et cetera. Subsequently, the city manager's office has requested some additional flexibility and instead of referring to the citizen's office, just to refer to the City of Savannah, and that way that they would have that additional flexibility for the enforcement. So staff is amending the recommendation to remove the reference to the citizen office and replace that with just generally City of Savannah. Staff is recommending approval of the amendments as amended. These have been reviewed by various city departments as well as the Historic District Board of Review, and they are supportive of it. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions of staff?
Just one quick one. Mr. Chairman, is it standard for us to approve the house rules for the Historic Review Board?
Yes, sir. Because their ordinance is a part of the zoning ordinance. It falls within your purview to make recommendations to City Council. Ultimately, it's City Council who makes the decision.
So all these do go to council.
Yes, sir.
Good. Any other questions of staff? There being none, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, I have one card from the representative of Historic Savannah Foundation. If you'd like to come forward and identify yourself for the record and.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Danielle Mernier, and I'm here representing Historic Savannah Foundation. I just want to very briefly say we do Historic Savannah review virtually all of the petitions that go before the review board each month. We're at all of those meetings, and so we're very familiar with the process. We've seen some of the cases that have kind of spurred the reason to go in and do some of these revisions, and we think that it's going to just add consistency to the ordinance as well as remove some of the difficulty for the petitioners. So we do support staff, and we do recommend approval.
Thank you. Any questions of the speaker?
I have a question.
Ms. Manico.
Does this meet all of the requirements that you now look forward to dealing with in the future? Or do you see any other changes that should be added to that?
I think that but, you know, we do a yearly review. We've been fortunate enough to participate in the retreats for the Board of Review and comment at those times. And I think as we see different cases come up. It is all on a case-by-case basis. At this time, I think that everything that is being proposed are positive changes, and I don't know that there are anything additional that has come up at this time that we would propose it be.
The reason I'm asking the question is because all of 2014, we had quite a few changes recommended by the Historical Review Board, constantly. Changes that we had no say-so in it, but we had to vote on it. So that's why I'm asking the question now, would perhaps take care of 2015.
Future changes.
Thank you.
It was turned off.
Any other questions for this?
It's all right. It's kind of warm.
All right. That being the case, all right, we have a motion to approve staff recommendation by Mr. Cook. A second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion to approve staff recommendation by Mr. Cook and seconded by Mr. Welch. Any discussion? There being none, you may vote. Motion passes. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, we have an amendment to section 8-3134G7, changes in non-conforming uses, incidental non-conforming uses, sit-down restaurant, wine sales in the RIP A1 zoning district to remove the prohibition on live music. Ms. Moore.
Thank you. I'll take just a moment to bring up the information. This is a request to amend a provision that prevents live music from being played at a restaurant that's known as the Firefly Cafe. It's at 321 Haversham Street, and it's located in an RIP A1 district. And the RIP A1 district is specifically located around the Troop Square area, and it is predominantly a residential district. It's the most restrictive of all of our mixed-use districts downtown. And this particular restaurant has a bit of a history. This location that you see here at the northwest corner of East Harris Street and Haversham Street for many years was a meat market, and at some point it converted into a restaurant. And that restaurant use was considered non-conforming because the RIP A1 district did not permit it. Back in 2005, the owner at the time wanted to be able to serve wine with meals. And because it was non-conforming, they attempted to rezone the property. That did not meet with favor, either at the Planning Commission or with City Council. And so they determined that in order to allow the wine sales, that they would place a number of conditions on the property. So back in 2005, there were approximately 10 conditions that were approved, ranging anywhere from the type of street where the restaurant could be located, restrictions on wine, and another restriction of the 10, including the provision to limit or not allow pool tables, music games, videos, live music, or karaoke. And so pipe music would be allowed within the restaurant. They do have an outdoor cafe on the sidewalk, and there are no loudspeakers or music that would be allowed there. So the applicant now, which is another owner, from the owner in 2005, would like to have acoustical music. And in order to do that, they would need the text amendment. So because this is a property-specific amendment, we did notify every property owner within 300 feet of the site. We did contact the Downtown Neighborhood Association. There have been a few emails that we attach to the agenda. You received one today. I've also received a couple of phone calls, and for the most part, they have all been positive. One of the callers was concerned about live music that wasn't acoustical, and then there is one letter of opposition, which you do have. And some of the conditions that that you see up here and some of the conditions here on the page before that, in some respect, aren't zoning related, and in my opinion, the live music one, it's governed by a noise control ordinance, which staff did identify in the report, and we feel because there is a noise control ordinance, the noise is not allowed to go across the residential property line, either if you're playing the instrument and it's not amplified, or if you have amplified electrified music, that noise control would govern, as it would for any other property, whether it's residential or non-residential. This particular restaurant is located at the ground floor of a mixed-use building, so there's no limitation on any of the tenants above the restaurant from playing music, but there is for the restaurant because of that one condition that was approved back in 2005. So as I indicated, the petitioner would like to have the ability to have acoustical music during hours of operation, which is every day of the week. And I've included those hours in the report. From Monday through Thursday, it's 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 11 to 9:30, and then Sunday from 9 to 3 p.m. And this may be something that doesn't occur on a daily basis. So the applicant did ask for the live music to be allowed, but again, verbally indicated that all they would like to have is acoustical. So staff feels that the provision against live music, since they want to prohibit it only to be acoustical, that would be appropriate. Again, we do have a noise control ordinance. No other properties have the same prohibition, so we are suggesting that the amendment be approved, that acoustical music be allowed at this location. The applicant also indicated that it should only apply to the current owners, but we feel like that condition is really not enforceable. We're not going to know when a new owner comes along. It's really a condition of the property, not necessarily the owner. So we didn't feel that that was necessary. So with the amendment that you see there on the screen, staff is recommending approval of the allowance of acoustical music at this particular location.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Any questions of staff? Ms. Blackman.
In the pre-meeting, we discussed the fact that there's a lot of music that may be electrified and not acoustical that would also be appropriate. Even though we didn't use these two instruments in that meeting, a trumpet is acoustical, but a trumpet can make a whole lot more noise than a jazz guitar that may be on an amplifier, or an electric piano that has to use an amplifier rather than having a grand piano. Was the staff thought that acoustical wasn't necessarily the restriction we needed as much as without loudspeakers or something like that?
Well, because of the noise control ordinance, we felt that that would satisfy any potential nuisances, but since the applicant only wanted for acoustical, we felt like that maybe that was a good way of, you know, providing some assurance to some of the nearby property owners. As I said, one caller was concerned about that and was for the acoustical but not for the amplified, and this is a way to allow the applicant to have what she would like. And then I realized that there was some concern of you know, potential rock bands or some other, you know, it turning into something else. So perhaps restricting it to only acoustical would be most appropriate.
What's the address of this property?
321 Haversham.
Anyway, any other questions of board of staff? Thanks, Ms. Moore. Is petitioner here wishing to speak on this item? Could you come forward and identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, hello, I'm Darcy O'Connor. I'm the owner of the Firefly. We just wanted to let everybody know that we are actually the closest neighbor. We live at 320 Haversham. So we understand noise ordinances. What it really is we're just looking for background music. You know, if Sade wants to come in, that would be great. However, we have some friends of ours that just simply play guitar, and it's not going to be trumpet playing. So we just wanted to reassure you that it will be nice, it will be sedate, it's going to be background music, it's not going to be bands or anything. Just enjoyment.
Any questions? Mr. Manico?
I assume, since you're such a close neighbor, there has been no other complaints. And the reason I'm asking this is because we are now amending something that we thought satisfied fire with a different request. There's been no other complaints from none of the other neighbors, I assume.
No, not yet.
Not yet? Well, once we vote on it, we'll put it to bed and send it to the city. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or petitions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have two cards from persons in the audience wishing to speak on this. Walt Freeman.
We were informed that it was a different address.
All right. Also, the Summer Roberts.
Same
thing. Okay, well, we have no other comments, so.
Move for approval, staff recommendation.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to approve staff recommendation by Mr. Cook and seconded by Mr. Welch. Any discussion? There being none, you may vote.
Did anybody vote against the historic district ordinance changes? It flashed up there too fast for me to see. All in favor? But
business, move to adjourn.
Chairman in order.
So we'll adjourn today. Yeah.
All right. Amazing.
That's a record.